Good morning, KMUN listeners. At 9:30, we're going to have a conversation with John Orr. That'd be me. And the topic today will be the riverfront vision. What's your vision? It's call in show, so 503-325-0010. That all gets started at 9:30. And it's going to be a rainy weekend, pretty much all the way through Sunday. Temperature's going to hang out in the days during about 50 degrees, evenings 40 degrees. And I guess to kick things off of doing a little research, it entails a lot more than I first realized. A lot of folks out there, good civic-minded citizens, have been involved in hearings to review the four basic areas of the plan. This is the future of our city, folks, so it's good to lend an ear, and it's good to get involved, because if this is a place you choose to live, there are going to be dramatic potential impacts from the things that are getting laid down now in the news as far as the riverfront. Looks like the Adrift Hotel has been approved. And then the Fairfield, the Marriott Fairfield one that occupies a space near the Ship Inn has also been approved. So we're going to get two new hotels here on our riverfront. Had a good conversation with the mayor, the new mayor, the mayor-elect, I think, Mayor Jones, Bruce Jones, and articulate, soft-spoken, but definitely reflective mayor. I think we're lucky to have him. He was generous enough to share some time yesterday with me, so I listened to what he had to say. And the direction of Astoria, how do you want that riverfront to look? The call number is 503-325-0010. So give us a call. Particularly interested to people that have dug into the details, you know, the details of the, you know, the whole plan is, you know, there's a lot of them. We have the Bridge Vista area that's obviously near the bridge, the urban core, which is the downtown area between 2nd and 16th Street. That's the one that's the last piece. That's the one that is under consideration for new rules, for new amendments to the zoning code regarding and restricting and regulating use, construction, building height, setbacks, views, all that sort of thing. So that's the one that's really on the plate. That's the one that if you want to make your voice heard, the thing to look into. And then there's the Civic Greenway, and finally the Neighborhood Greenway. So my sense of things, and I beg if any of you differ because of superior knowledge, which in this particular case won't be too difficult to achieve, superior knowledge on my part, that is, that the Neighborhood Greenway is kind of set, and the greenways and green spaces are protected, and that seems to be the long-term plan, the long-term consensus. Similar also with the Civic Greenway, and I jotted down some notes from things that I had read about that. You know, there's another topic out there. Again, this is a call-in radio show, folks, so please feel free to call in 503-325-0010. A conversation with John Orr. The topic today is, what's the Astoria Riverfront, what's your vision? Because the plans are underway. We have two new hotels, and if you're good with that, good. If you're not, maybe you want to tell us why. One of the, I tried to find some way of capturing the story, the themes, if you will. And, you know, you can have your open spaces, your views on the one hand, but there may be some tension or conflict, at least in theory, between the stated goal, desired goal, particularly the Bridge Vista plan for a working riverfront. As those of you who have been here for a long time, or at least know the history, the riverfront was a working place. There were working rails for commercial freight shipment. There was massive cannery operations, you know, acre upon acre of cannery operations. We had ships. We had tuna. We had salmon. We had sardines, anchovies, apparently. And those have one by one disappeared. So I wonder what your thoughts on that one. Is it viable for that bridge area, and particularly where the Astoria storage company has their now empty buildings? So we have a caller. Great. This conversation with John R., what's your comment? Thanks for calling, by the way.
Hi. Hey, I'm just concerned about the privatizing of putting hotels on the riverfront. Is that going to take the view and the walkway away from the public?
Good question. Now, as far as the Fairfield building, that was the one that was probably the most contentious, and that the Planning Commission of the City of Astoria denied it, but the City of Astoria approved it. And that one, I think, probably does affect views. The extent to which it affects views, I'm not sure. And my understanding is that as recently as 2015, the City Council approved amendments to the Bridge Vista area, which I believe is part of that area where that hotel is being located, that allowed 45 feet height buildings, 45 foot in height. So I'm assuming, since that is a permitted use there, that there will be some view shed blockage. So I hear you on that.
Are they going to allow people then to at least be able to walk through that space? If they want to view like the ships going by or just view the water.
Well, the plan allows for other places of access and other places to be kept open in sensitivity, presumably, for those concerns. But at that particular location where the new Fairfield's going in, I can only imagine that it would be like, other large structures. Like there's that that condominium complex that's on the water that, you have to have a right to be there. Now, the river walk will continue unimpeded. That's also a part of the plan. So the river walk will probably be unimpeded. And I would hope, though I do not know, and I apologize for my ignorance, that the hotel will be set back and away from, which is to say north of the river walk, so that the view for people on the river walk will be unimpeded. The concern perhaps would arise from neighbors, people at the lower elevations in the City of Astoria who are residents. They may have some lost vision. That's something I'd certainly solicit our listeners to call in. Looks like we have a bunch of them. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not real thrilled about it myself.
I appreciate that. That's why I like this show. We get the chance to hear ourselves. So thank you for your call. I'm going to take somebody else here as soon as my little light flashes up there in the upper left-hand portion of the phone console. And I suspected when I planned this program that there would be concerns about that view blockage. Now we have two callers, it looks like, on hold. So there we go. This is a conversation with John Orr. Thanks for calling. What's your comment?
Yeah, I went to a Planning Commission meeting, and I was a little shocked when they described, apparently without irony, that you could see the river if you went up the hill a little ways and looked through, kind of peek through some notches that they were going to leave at the tops of their big buildings. Or you could also walk on a sort of catwalk around the hotels out around and onto the riverside to see them. I guess my question is, how many hotels does a city of 10,000 people really need? It seems like there's quite a few big ones already, and I'd just as soon make it impossible to build any tall buildings on the riverfront. That's my comment. Thanks.
Okay. Do you want to take my comments off the air?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks for your call. That's a great question. Thank you, caller. How many hotels can a city of 10,000, city of Astoria, sustain? And should they be at the expense of the long-term, the local, year-round residents' opportunities to view and take advantage of one of the chief amenities of living in Astoria, the Columbia River, and it's all its beauty and all its glory? So I guess that's a question. We've got another caller, so let's take that call. Thanks for calling Conversation with John Orr. What's your comment?
I have a couple of them. I've heard the previous callers, and there's a lot of confusion about exactly what the regulations are around building. It's very different for over-the-water buildings. In some areas, those can't be higher than the bank height of the river. Mm-hmm. In other places, they can go up 20 feet above, 28 feet higher. Mm-hmm. And then when you get on to the south side of the Riverwalk, which is toward Marine Drive, basically, mm-hmm. those buildings in many places can be 45 feet high. And that's one of the real issues. There are certain regulations about how closely the buildings can be next to each other, so they're leaving narrow pathways where people will get a flickering view of the river if they were walking along to the south of those tall buildings. But here's the thing. There's a meeting Tuesday night. It's a continuation of the city's planning commission meeting that was held last Tuesday night that ran till past 10 o'clock in the evening. There were very few people in the room, and they're making decisions about what the regulations will be in this urban core area. That's being decided right now. And if you go to the city hall on Tuesday at 6 p.m., that's when the meeting starts, and you can make comments. So these people that are concerned about hotels should show up and tell the planning commission, because I was there, and the planning commission seems to want to act on their own. They're not really interested in hearing from the citizens. So we need to show up in numbers. The other, the final point I'll make is that there really should be a concern about more hotels, because what that's doing for our city is building in a lot of low-paying jobs. Those hotels take up space along the riverfront. That riverfront could be better used for other activities that would provide higher-paying jobs to workers. The fishing industry can be a relatively high-paying operation. A hotel worker is going to be minimum wage, and they'll probably come from outside the area, and then there'll be more housing shortage, and it goes on and on. The other thing is the infrastructure of our city is under stress. We have a water system that can handle 10,000 people, and if we have a huge influx of tourists during the summer season, if you recall a couple years ago, there were concerns they were going to actually have to put in a restriction on how much water we could use because the level in our reservoir was falling. So the other one is the sewer. The sewer system is pretty much maxed out. And so if you bring in a whole bunch of people, they're flushing toilets and taking long showers in great big hotels, 45 feet high, you can imagine what the effect will be on our infrastructure. The other is traffic. We all know we have traffic. If you build more 40 and 60 room hotels, these people are going to be coming in cars, and they're going to be driving around, and our city just can't handle it. And people need to go and tell the city government what they think about this. And I know I sound kind of riled up here, because I am. I spent almost 4 hours in that meeting room last week, or earlier this week, and it was very taxing. And I would like people to show up there. And I talked long enough, and I'm sorry for going on and on, but there's a lot of issues, and people really should get involved. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. That's the kind of calls we want to hear on the conversation with John Orr. People that are informed, people that are passionate, and people that want to express their concerns. So first of all, in reply to that, I will remind the callers that if you feel strongly about or you're concerned about the future, overdevelopment, hotels, stress and infrastructure, water, sewer, traffic, low-paid jobs, low-wage jobs, then the meeting of the Planning Commission will be Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Astoria City Hall in downtown Astoria. Another call. Conversation with John Orr. Thanks so much for calling. What's your comment?
Yeah, John, actually the last guy pretty much covered it. Mine, too, is about infrastructure, particularly traffic. You can't, in the summertime, you can't even get in and out of town off Highway 30 here. So my thing is, those guys want to build that hotel, I think on the South Slope there's one proposed. I say, you can have your hotel. You convince ODOT to put in the bypass. And I'll hang up. It's been a great conversation, John. Thank you for your show.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thank you so much. Well, yeah, what I was going to do was cover some of these topics in the lull, but this has been by far the liveliest conversation on the radio we've had here on KMUN. 503-325-0010 is the call-in number. And we really do have to take some hard looks at this because it's our future and the viability, the livability, the quality of life that's truly at stake when you start bringing in low-wage jobs from the hotel industry, increased traffic, increased stress at infrastructure. And Lord knows the city can't afford new infrastructure, heavy infrastructure investments. Lord knows that the bypass may be a dream, it may be a reality, but it's a long ways off. And the transportation money from the Oregon Department of Transportation and the state government, well, that's going to the Portland area. If you look on your paychecks, they're taking money. It's called a transportation tax. It's coming out there. Looks like we have another call. So welcome to the conversation with John Orr. Thanks for calling so much. What's your comment?
My name is Jacob. I live in Pacific County, Washington.
Okay.
And I just want to speak out for Adrift Hotel.
Okay.
A guy mentioned that they're going to produce low-paying jobs.
Yeah.
But Adrift is actually a very forward-thinking company, and they get benefits, and they just really take care of their employees, and it's a family mentality, and that's all.
I really appreciate that. That's the beauty of this radio program, and particularly when people get involved and take the time to call the number 503-325-0010, and they fill in the blanks. So there is this idea that hotel jobs don't pay well, but here we have some supplemental information that they are a good company. They pay benefits. I hope they certainly pay enough to find housing. It's in pretty short supply, and I don't think there's much dispute that a minimum wage job will person working minimum wage full time will have difficulty finding suitable accommodations. The city of Tillamook has struggled. At Tillamook County, they had a commission, and the idea of workforce housing sponsored by the employer, the new employer, the existing employers, and facilitating that is one solution. I don't think that's come up yet as a viable point of concern in the processes where this plan is approved. But make no mistake about it, these plans to have more hotels will have impacts. It's unavoidable as the story gets discovered, as it improves its image, we have now seven beer brewing companies here, that people will start to see it more along the lines, you know, of little coastal towns in California, like Carmel, or boutique, cutesy towns like maybe Aspen, or what have you. So, you know, one thing that is curious to me is that I'm curious about that is to say, is whether a working waterfront that involves family wage jobs from the fishing industry has any viable future here. I understand historically there's just been a drift away from that kind of employment. I'm wondering if there's anybody out there with knowledge that say, well, yeah, we'd love to come back. We'd love to bring our boats here, but maybe the port infrastructure isn't what it needs to be. Or maybe there aren't the right kind of facilities, or they don't have the space, or maybe things are more competitive in the south coast of Oregon or ports in the state of Washington across the river. Because if it's going to be a working waterfront, and the planner proposals to make that a factor in the Bridge Vista plan, the area around the bridge, is that just lip service to a long-gone dream? Or is this something could happen? I like the idea of a working waterfront and people that have fondness for the historical legacy of this being a, you know, a community of fishermen, of loggers and whatnot. You know, I'd like to hear from them if they have anything to add to this conversation. 503-325-0010. It's 950. And addressing the increasing traffic problems, there aren't a whole lot of good solutions. There's big solutions that require big money. But anything we do to take the city of Astoria from where it is right now, 10,000 people, to a larger community, it's going to be problematic. There's just not a lot of places to build here, so people will be driving here. They'll be driving here from Warrenton, which has probably the most options and possibilities for increased housing. That'll put further stress on the access roads to the city of Astoria. And those of us who are here during the summer know that we are starting to get our traffic jams. If you've ever tried to go north from Premark Center on the Youngs Bay Bridge, like me last night around rush hour. There is a rush hour here. That wasn't the way it was when I got here in 1990. And so I believe that the new employers and the new employees have something valuable to offer this community. Certainly, if they meet aesthetic concerns, certainly if they comply with the rules and laws as they must, it's because the Planning Commission and the city council have to ensure that the zoning requirements are met, then, you know, what will we have? What kind of community do we see? Now, I traveled in my younger days to Europe, and I saw the open spaces, and I remember along, you know, Lake Geneva, I think it was in Switzerland, that just you could see the lake. You had long walkways, and it was beautiful, and you have established you have established ways of parks in cities like Paris. You have the great value that parks have for the residents of Portland. When you have high population densities and in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park. So those open spaces, those park spaces, those beautiful places, they define a place. They increase its livability. So again, there's a meeting where people can make their concerns known on Tuesday at 6 p.m., the city of Astoria. That's a planning commission. It's a continuation of a meeting. One caller seemed to have been left with the impression that the input of locals or the citizens was not held in high regard. Now, if there's a planning commissioner from the city of Astoria who would take issue with that, I invite your call. I wasn't there. I'm going to try and make the meeting Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Astoria City Hall and the Planning Commission on the final phase of the riverfront vision plan, and that's of the urban core. So bringing it to the urban core, again, this is a conversation with John Orr, 503-325-0010. Gives you a call for your concerns if there's something about overdevelopment or the vanishing views that may portend in certain areas of the riverfront. Voice your concerns. But anyway, the urban core is the next and last piece of the development and planning code amendments that's underway. That's pretty much what's on store for the Tuesday night meeting. The urban core is supposed to be more developed, and it's going to have some higher, probably some higher building and less setback. It's going to be a more intense level of development than any of the others. And we have a caller. Conversation with John Orr. Thanks for your comment. What is it?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about codes and height restrictions, those were made years ago. And if you're interested in keeping them down, you know, it seemed like there was plenty of time to work on that. You could change the code like last year. I think it's funny that, looking back last year, city council was concerned so much about changing and making code for short-term housing, of all things. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to bring in some low-income housing. But what it really does is, those what you call Airbnb rooms were potential places for those tourists to stay.
Hmm.
And that would, in a sense, lessen the need for new hotels.
Hmm. Good point.
In a small way.
A good point, I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
And in addition, you're expending all that effort thinking that you're going to open up low-income housing, which is now being built in various places around. And you never really address the real issue of what we're talking about today. You know, you got to change the code. How can a city council deny, you know, deny when they're within the codes that they're given?
Exactly.
Right?
That's right.
So you need to change the code. You can't blame a city council for passing a hotel. I don't like it either. But, you know, how many times can you deny a plan that is within the codes?
Right,
I think you get sued or something. I don't know. You're the lawyer.
Yeah, that's true. It's called inverse condemnation. Yeah.
Right. So, and my last little comment is thank God for the museum and that pond. Because now there's a permanent structure that we all love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could have had like 20 of those, you know, that'd be great. But you know what I'm saying?
I do.
That little reflecting pond replaces an old derelict structure that they just tore down. And, it's not easy, you know, but, you know, how quickly a permanent change gets dropped in and you won't be able to do anything about it for a longer than we're going to be around. But thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Thanks for calling. There is talk that perhaps there is a need to revisit the height restrictions and some of the code amendments taken in 2015. That's right, 2015, for the Bridge Vista area. We have another caller. This is Conversation with John Orr. What's your comment? Thanks for calling, by the way.
Hey, John. Thanks for doing the show. It's a great show. We really need it.
All right.
I want to mirror a couple of sentiments about the infrastructure of the city not being able to handle a huge influx of tourists. I think there should be a needs assessment about more hotels. And so one of the infrastructure pieces is the roads and the chair walls that support them. You know, a lot of sidewalks around town are caving in, and that falls to the business owners to repair, but it's the streets that are sinking, causing the sidewalks to fail.
Wow.
And I don't think the business owners own the streets. And so those big rigs, you know, I think the bypass needs to stay a topic of discussion, needs to stay on the agenda. And I agree with the other gentleman who said that we all need to turn out in numbers to show what the community wants and doesn't want. I don't think tourism is a sustainable plan for the future. And I think it would be great if we could be thinking about new industries, not trying to fire up fishing again, but new industries, whether it's in, you know, some sort of ecological, environmental sustainability, clean energy. You know, we are an area that's full of natural resources. Let's think about new ways to use them that are beneficial to everybody.
Great ideas. Really appreciate the call. And so that'll remind me to remind you that, again, the Astoria Planning Commission, the party, the body, the governing body that is deciding on proposed amendments to the urban core area, including height restrictions, developments, permitted uses, conditional uses, that's all happening again in a continuation of a meeting from last week. That's happening this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Astoria City Hall here in downtown Astoria. So probably better wrap it up for that. Again, thanks to all the callers for your wise and thoughtful comments. I really enjoy doing this show. I think it serves a useful purpose, and we may have to continue this one. I certainly like the idea of doing something on the bypass, because the bypass and the transportation and the future transportation loads on our community, which is already feeling the stress of development, we need to take seriously. And maybe we should have our local elected representatives weigh in. There's a pessimistic attitude about that, about what's doable, what's possible, what's feasible. But maybe a change of attitude, and the community would have to come together. They tried to do that in Seaside, and then there were some merchants who perceived that they would be negatively affected by the bypass. And my recollection is that kind of put the kibosh on it, and the Department of Transportation said, Well, that was a waste of time. So we'd really have to get together on that. I hope it doesn't require a gridlock, increase in gridlock a la Portland in the city of Astoria for that community consensus to come together to support that. So we'll be back next week, 9:30, for a conversation with John Orr. It's 10 o'clock. You're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, streaming live at coastradio.org. Listen on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. And if you missed this show or part of it and would like to listen to it, I am told there is podcast rebroadcast available. And so you can go to coastradio.org for podcasts and listen. And so, again, thank you for the show. It's going to be rainy and around 45 all weekend without much let up. Coming up at 10:01, we're going to have the news, and then Albert will be in with the folk show. So it's going to be good. Albert always puts on a good show.